I'm here in Dunsink Observatory in Castleknock, Dublin 15. And we're having a very special talk this evening on the Herschel Space Telescope, given by Dr. Brian O'Halloran, who's an Irish scientist working on this fantastic brand new space telescope. So Brian, what does Herschel do?
Herschel is an observatory which observes primarily in a particular part of the electromagnetic spectrum called the infrared. And it's one that hasn't really been explored at all up to now. We're looking at a part of the electromagnetic spectrum that even the likes of Hubble can't see. So this is brand new science. It's really virgin territory in terms of scientific payback. And it's primarily going to be looking at basically how galaxies, the problem mission is how galaxies really form.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the light from the earliest galaxies is shifted away to longer and longer wavelengths. So by using Herschel, the great resolving power of Herschel, we'll be actually able to pick apart how the first galaxies really started to come together. And this is all through a whole sweep of large projects which have been done both from groups within Europe and the United States and all over the world.
Excellent.
So it's an exciting project.
It does. It sounds brilliant. And where in space is Herschel?
Herschel is actually situated. It's not actually in Earth's orbit, unlike Hubble. It's stuck out at the L2 point. It's named after a French mathematician called Lagrange. Basically, it's a point where the gravity of the Earth and the gravity of the Sun basically balance each other out. So you can stick something out there, use a minimum amount of fuel to kind of keep it steady. And the benefit is we can kind of keep the telescope fairly cool, because infrared telescopes need to be extremely cold. We're looking at temperatures for the telescope of about -270 degrees Celsius. Partly the reason for this is because infrared light is very, very thin in comparison to, it's very hard to pick up infrared light. You have to cool down your own, you have to have an environment which is cold, and you have to cool down your old telescope as well. So we have to use very cold helium to basically make so we don't actually see the telescope as well. So we can keep it out in terms of, we can just simply keep the telescope as cold as possible, and the sun on the opposite side of the Earth from us as well.
Right, and how far away, in miles,
it's 1.5 million kilometres. Don't ask me.
1.5 million kilometres. Kilometres will do.
Yeah, don't ask me to convert back to miles.
How did the images that Herschel take compare to the Hubble Space Telescope? Because most people know what the Hubble Space images are like.
You're looking at different things compared to Hubble. What mostly shines in the infrared is actually dust and gas, with some stars as well. Basically, what happens is you take very high energy light coming from stars, and they're absorbed by dust, and they're re-emitted by longer wavelengths. So it's a different scenario than from what you see with Hubble. But the thing is as well, because you're looking at longer wavelengths than what you see at Hubble, the images don't look quite as sharp as you would see, with Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
So you're expecting your ultra precise images. That's not what happens with steel as you go to longer and longer wavelengths, unfortunately. But in saying that, Herschel is a huge telescope. It's 3.5 meters across its mirror, and they are very, very sharp images, especially for the wavelength regime that they're going. So if you're looking for something very similar to Hubble, it's not quite as good, but it's a very different scientific area that you're looking at. So this is truly, as I said earlier on, virgin territory, groundbreaking science. And so you'll be one of the, if you look at a Herschel image, you're one of the very first people ever to be able to see the universe in this sort of vista.
Wow. And, does it need servicing like Hubble? How long will it be up there, in other words?
Herschel will be up there for at least 3 years. The reason for this is because, not because of, we've packed up on a dodgy bits and pieces, it's because, the telescope has to be cold, it has to be super cold. So we have to take up a lot of cryogen, basically a lot of very cold helium, basically to cool the telescope down. Now, because it's so far away, and it's very expensive to go there, we send up with a finite amount of coolant, and so once that coolant runs out, the instruments are too warm to
do anything
more.
Yeah.
So we, like the frugal people that we are, we try to minimize the usage of it to try to preserve and try to keep it going as long as possible. So we've baselined at least 3 years to do this.
Do you think it'll last longer than that, or is it?
Yes.
You definitely know that the coolant would be gone by then.
It's a very well-designed cooling system. So there's a heritage because we in the 1990s there was the Infrared Space Observatory, again another ESA project. Then there was the Spitzer Space Telescope, and both of those missions lasted longer than the initial plan. Spitzer was originally for 2.5 years, and went to EVA 5.
Yeah.
So more than likely we will go further than the 3 years.
Right.
How much further we don't know yet, because you know we're really at the moment right at the start, because with all the tweaking bits and pieces of the real science is about to begin with Herschel. So
sounds fantastic. And are you the only Irish person working on Herschel?
No, there's quite a few of us around. The instrument that I work on, SPAR, which is an imager and spectrograph, the person who's actually in charge of that, the principal investigator, is an Irish person, Matt Griffin at Cardiff University. And there are various other members, who are working at ESA. Leo Metcalf is one of the senior managers on Herschel. Leo has been at ESA since the days of ISO and has gone through the X-ray satellite XMM and then on to Herschel and now is in a senior manager position. And there's a few of us around.
Yeah.
We're not.
So if you were a young person, say, listening to this and living in Dublin 15 or whatever, you know, what would you have to do to get into the position of being a scientist working on one of these fantastic instruments?
Obviously, you know, my own route, give science as a secondary school. I was gravitated towards physics when I was in school. And I ended up going to, you go to college, you do your science degree. I ended up doing a degree in experimental physics and maths, as you do. and I went on, then I did a PhD in UCD. So, again, in experimental physics. And so, and then I went off on my merry way. I was at Dunsink for a short while. I went to the United States for a few years, worked on Spitzer data while I was out there. And now I'm back here working in Herschel. So,
wow, it's a very exciting career.
It is. You get to see stuff, you get to see and do stuff. Like what's nicer than going off and playing eight with telescopes in space? Also, get the opportunity to play with telescopes in Hawaii and Chile as well.
Oh, that's very nice.
Which is very, very nice.
That's a nice perk of the job.
It is. It's an extremely nice perk of the job. So, being an astronomer certainly has its fringe benefits.
Absolutely. And, people would like to know, how much did Herschel cost?
Herschel cost about 3 billion euro, which is, it's a lot of money, especially in straightened times as we speak today.
Sure.
But this is money that's been spent over a very long period of time. And also, as well, the money really actually physically goes into building the telescope, the contracts out to the companies that do the research and development to build the telescope, because all this is very state-of-the-art stuff.
Yeah.
We're really dealing with, first of all, science that we're only doing for the first time, but also having to build the equipment so we can do that science. Again, it requires a lot of technical know-how and so on and so forth. And of course, the cost of things like sending it up there in the first place, because Ariane rockets aren't cheap, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So it's fairly money, and it's spread over the cost of the lifetime of the observatory.
Does that include the data gathering when the data comes back and people working on the information?
Yes, all that is included in that as well. Of course, because we're the human asset, we're comparatively cheap compared to
compared to robots.
Compared to robots. Compared to this, it's an Irish 3.5 meter telescope. So we're comparatively cheap. But it's spread around the 15 odd members of the European Space Agency, and which Ireland, of course, is a member of. And also, the benefits not only in terms of scientific benefit, but also, as I said, filtering down to companies which are in each ESA member country.
It's giving employment on the ground.
Exactly. It's giving
over a period of time.
Over a long period of time.
That's excellent.
So.
And is the Deep Space Network retrieve the information back? How do you get the information?
We actually don't use the NASA, the ESM at all. ESA has its own stations in Spain particularly. Because ESA is, unlike NASA, is not, massively well funded, so we have to make do with the resources we have available. So we use one. There are two stations. One which is the primary one, and every so often we switch over to the secondary. Both are in Spain, and so we generally do a demo dump of data about once a day, which we termly call the DTCP period, which is basically about 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Because as you may imagine, there's a pretty large amount of data which gets dumped down every day.
Right.
So generally about once a day we send down our data from the onboard recorders down to the ground stations, and those are passed on then to the Herschel Science Center in just outside Madrid.
Excellent.
And those are then passed on to the various consortia around Europe and the world.
What do you think would be the most interesting or exciting thing that you could discover with it, or is that still in the virgin territory you're talking about?
The thing is, it's hard to make a prediction when you're literally looking at a part of the electromagnetic spectrum which we know comparatively little about.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, as I said, a lot of, because of, we would hope we would get a better grip on how galaxies really came to be. Because we know, yes, they appear a long, long time ago, but basically, how were they constructed? Did they all just, big ball of gas just collapse in and stuff and just form a galaxy? Or did it start building up little building blocks? And then you end up with very, very large galaxies. So Herschel, because it's optimized to look at that part of the spectrum, which, where all the information is, you can actually start piecing together how these things actually came to be. So that would be certainly something we'd look for, but there's always unexpected things.
Yeah.
Every mission,
Be
it in the optical, radio, X-ray, we've found stuff that we've never, ever envisaged that we would.
Wow.
So it's an exciting few years ahead of us.
Well, it sounds great, and I hope you do find something and maybe come back and tell us about it.
I'll be blessed.
Okay, thanks very much, Brian.
Cheers.